that's still Monday morning, and it's still the 9 o'clock hour. I've been informed by Luke Mathers, producer extraordinaire. So I will tell you probably thought I was quiet quitting there, and I wasn't. Thought about it, but again, how great would just 10 minutes of dead air be? It's what everybody prays for about six past every hour here. But we continue. I noted that Congressman Mark Pocan, who has not been shy about the stakes involved next door in the 3rd congressional district, where Republican Derek Van Orden is on the ballot, who was present at the insurrection and has had numerous other incidents that his Democratic opponent Brad Paff has noted make him virtually unqualified to be in Congress. He is super qualified to be a member of a right-wing party, but not necessarily to represent the 3rd congressional district. And you heard Jeff Smith mention Dave Estenson before, and Mark Pocan this morning wanted to remind people that Van Orden was present on the Capitol grounds, was less than truthful about his proximity to the insurrection. And so Pocan again put up audio from Dave Estenson as he was walking toward the Capitol on January 6, 2021, to remind people of Van Orden's presence so close to the action. Let's hear that.
Yeah, I still have a ways to go to get up to the Capitol, which is where everybody's at. I got off the phone with Derek Van Orden. He and a bunch of his frogman buddies are on the wall over. He said they got a pretty good vantage point on the wall to the left side of the building. So that's where I'm aiming for. He said, come on up. We got a great spot to watch. So that's kind of where I'm shooting for.
And this is somebody who, you know, used in Van Orden, used campaign funds in part for the trip. So when people were donating money to his congressional campaign, you know, in 2020, turns out they were also funding his travels to what turned out to be an attack on our federal government. And again, that's not all. This weekend, we want to wish Derek Van Orden happy anniversary. 1 year ago, he was arrested and charged with trying to bring a fully loaded 9mm pistol through TSA and onto a commercial flight. That is the person who is a nominee for Republicans. But again, this is in keeping with what we've talked about this morning. In part, we told you earlier about how Representative Adam Nealon of Pewaukee said that the first tax break he might ever oppose is one that would waive state income taxes on forgiven student loan debt, simply out of that temper tantrum that they're having, that President Biden is forgiving a part of that debt, which is changing lives. It is such an economic boost, not just to households, but to local economies in doing so. And so I wanted to share with you an article written by one of my colleagues. Ty Rushing writes for Iowa Starting Line. You can find that at iowastartingline.com. I think IA Starting Line is the social media handle. And Ty is a brilliant writer and reporter. And he tells his story about the importance of student loans, even though it's going to put you so deep into debt, but it lets you dig out of the hole that, you know, you were born in through no fault of your own. He writes, depending on your primary news source, I'm either an elitist or one of the 430,000 Iowans burdened with a collective $13 billion in student loan debt who will have a portion of it forgiven by an executive order from President Joe Biden. Biden announced Wednesday that up to $20,000 in federal student loan debt will be forgiven for Pell Grant recipients, and you have to display exceptional financial need to receive one of those, and up to $10,000 for those who weren't quite as hard up. And let me note right here that the only reason I got through college was through Pell Grants, again, coming from an extremely low-income family. Ty goes on to talk about being, like me, the product of a single mom. He says, my late mother raised me for the most part by herself, along with some help from grandparents and maternal aunts. He says, I also have three fathers, which is something he'd never written about before until this weekend. His first stepdad, he grew up thinking was his biological dad, who spent most of Ty's childhood in and out of prison, battling various addictions. His second stepdad, who he says my mom met at work during my first stepdad's jail stints, already had three sons of his own. I wasn't exactly receptive to this guy who I thought was trying to replace my dad, but we're cool now. And he says my final father figure is my biological father, who I met my senior year of high school. We too are super good now. Obviously, he writes, my backstory is complicated, but trying to explain how I'm related to someone via these three men requires a flowchart. And it does have something to do with student loans. He says, growing up, my mom usually had a full-time job, a part-time job, and side hustles, including making and selling custom gift baskets. Still, for years, we barely kept our heads above water, especially during her periods of unemployment. There were times we had to fill the bathtub with water before they cut off the water because of a missed bill. Sometimes in the winter, we slept in the same bed under numerous comforters because she couldn't risk running up the gas bill since we didn't have the money to pay. But even with all those financial hardships, not going to college was never an option for me. And I add parenthetically, me as well. The value of an education was something my mom instilled in me. She was the only one of her five siblings to graduate high school. She earned a few college credits while raising me, working multiple jobs, and supporting an incarcerated spouse. He says, I was offered a scholarship, but knew that, you know, where he wanted to go, the courses that he wanted to take, meant that even though he was working a night shift, he had to transfer to a more expensive school. And therefore, he had to take out plenty of loans, starting with a $2,000 loan in the fall of 2008. That he paid off in May of this year because of the fact that when you first start at journalism jobs, they are extremely low paying. And he goes on to talk about the second and sometimes third jobs that he'd have while establishing himself in his career, which in this case was journalism. He says, I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm doing fine these days, but I want to provide a face and a voice to the student loan debt crisis, which isn't unique to me or my particular circumstances. Even the Obamas didn't pay off their loans until just before they entered the White House. There are millions of people like me who couldn't get an education without putting themselves into debt. And as odd as it sounds, I tried to put myself into a manageable debt situation. Biden's announcement is a game changer for a lot of people I know. I can put payments toward my wedding and maybe actually get a house after 15 years of apartment living. So I'm pretty happy about Biden's decision, but I'm also just an elitist with three dads who couldn't afford a college and whose career experience as a journalist, primarily in rural Iowa, only recently surpassed my career experience as a warehouse worker, a senior distribution specialist, and a free sample hander outer, if you want to be technical. God bless the people who know education is important, but God bless those who also want to support those who make it so and help us all have a better life. Back with more, you're up north.